3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Hey, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. So happy to have you along once again after another great win for the M's. They are rolling along right now, 7-1 on this homestand, playing some great baseball. Mariners beat the Blue Jays last night. They double them up 6-3. Now looking to sweep aside the Jays. So we're going to roll through the highlights. We'll break down the game last night for you. We'll also get a preview of what comes up later on today. This is a great pitching matchup. This is going to be a lot of fun here as the Mariners try and get the sweep. And then, of course, it's on to the weekend against the Detroit Tigers. And, yes, the Mariners are in a tie for the second wild card now with Detroit. So it's been fun this week, this homestand, Toronto coming in for three games, and now it's going to get fun this weekend, too, against Detroit on the road. So highlights are coming. A lot of reaction to this ball game as well. Lloyd McClendon wins his 400th game as a major league manager, and it's something you'll hear. You'll hear reaction from a few different guys, and you can tell this team is bonded, and they think a lot of their skipper. And you'll hear that in the comments coming up as he wins his 400th game. We'll also hear from James Paxton making his return. He's Canadian, of course. So where did he fall on the side of Blue Jays Mariners growing up? And who was his favorite pitcher? It's pretty interesting. We'll hear that story coming up. And we're going to talk to Alex Rivera. He's the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners. So that's a fun conversation that's going to come up as well. So a lot on this podcast, another loaded podcast. And again, this reminder, I'll be throwing out these reminders just about every one. So we're now on Mariners.com. You can find it there, and you can subscribe to that one through iTunes and however else you want to subscribe to the podcast. I encourage that highly. So that's where to find us, and we'll be making the switch over at some point. It's not in the very near future, probably a couple weeks out, but I'll give you plenty of warning ahead of time, but you can make the switch now. We're now hosted by MLB.com, and you can find it at Mariners.com. Very excited about that. And thanks a lot. So many of you commented yesterday with tweets and emails, and thanks a lot for the kind words, but you're the one that makes this happen, and I really appreciate it, all the feedback and everything else along the way. This has been a lot of fun, as I said yesterday, and I will continue to say this has been totally awesome. So I've enjoyed it. So the Mariners beat the Jays yesterday 6-3, and what a game. Let's get to it.
And we'll start the very first inning. Now, Chris Young, this is not the indication of the kind of night he would end up having. It was a four-pitch walk to Jose Reyes. Not the guy you want to walk with his kind of speed. Wheels on the bases. And Melky Cabrera made Young pay early.
Runner goes. Good jump by Reyes. Swing and a drive into the gap in right center field. Reyes the turn at second. Heading for third. He's going to be waved in. This one all the way to the wall. Picked up by Jackson. The throw in is going to be cut off by Cano. Reyes will score. In at second goes Cabrera. With an RBI double, Reyes running with a pitch scores easily from first base.
So just like that, two batters into the game. One run is in, there's a runner at second base, and there's nobody down here facing Jose Bautista. That is not the way that Chris Young wanted to start this one. But this is a very underrated part of the ball game. When you look at how everything unfolded, such a veteran. When he gets Bautista to fly out, he gets Lynn to K, and limiting the damage. That's what good veteran pitchers can do. Even when they give up a run or two, it's all about limiting the damage. And he held the Blue Jays to one in the first inning.
The windup and the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with a fastball. Top part of the strike zone. That is strikeout number one for Young. And the Blue Jays have two outs here in the first inning.
So that was big. And then Young, he was just flat dominant after that. At one point, retiring 14 hitters in a row, had it on cruise control. and it was rolling along. Meanwhile, the Mariners get their first run of the ball game in the third inning.
There goes Morris to the pitch, swinging a line drive to center field. Rasmus plays it on a short hop, and it hits off his waist. Here comes Morris to the third. Rasmus up with the ball. He throws, and it's well wide of the target at home. Morrison scores. This ball game is tied. Jackson into second, and we are even at one.
Yeah, that was a theme in this ball game, and something we'll talk about as the postgame show continues, is the Blue Jays struggled in the field. We've talked about how great the Mariners defense has been all season long, fewest errors, and they were crisp for the second game in a row. The Blue Jays weren't, and the Mariners made them pay. A run there in the third inning, and then Kyle Seager, he'd go big fly in the fourth.
The 1-0 pitch, swing and a drive deep to right field. Down the line, gone. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager with his 18th home run of the season. Line drive shot. Holy smokes, and the Mariners have the lead by a score of 2-1. Here in the bottom of the fourth inning, that ball got out quickly. Number 18 for Kyle Seager.
When Kyle Seager is at home, that has been a fantastic thing for the Mariners. When he drives in a run, they usually win a ball game. In wins, he's got 58 RBIs on the season now, just 15 in losses. He is a huge key as he swats one out to drive in himself. And also at home here at Safeco Field, 15 homers now and 51 RBIs here at Safeco Field. He has loved the safe this year. On the other side of things, speaking of loving Safeco Field, Chris Young dealing.
The 0-2, Valencia with a swing and a miss and a breaky ball in the dirt, knocking it down. Zunino, as Valencia just walks away from home plate. Zunino was waiting to put a tag on him, but he gave up the at-bat, a strikeout for Young. And for Chris, that is strikeout number 3, and make it 14 in a row set down by Chris.
14 in a row, and it was vintage. A lot of just major league pop flies straight up the elevator shaft. A lot of long fly balls. No pitcher in the game knows the dimensions of his home park better than Chris Young knows Safeco Field. He's got it all mapped out and dialed in. A lot of warning track fly balls. Blue Jays could not knock any out. Just that one run early on against Chris Young. As we move to a very big play in this ball game, Logan Morrison gets himself and a rundown long enough to move the runners along. This is a big play.
3-2 pitch, swinging a ground ball to first. Up with the ball is Francisco, and here comes the runner from third. Morrison now stops the throw to the plate. Navarro over to third baseman Valencia. They got Morrison on the rundown. Taylor will go to third. They will put the tag on both guys, and out is Morrison. And on the play, Jackson, who hit that ground ball to Francisco at first, winds up on its second base.
And then making it big was Dustin Ackley, who came through with a huge knock for the Mariners.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on line drive into left field. Drops in a base hit. Here comes Taylor on the score. Rounding third. Heading home. Jackson. The throw will go into second by Melky Cabrera. Dustin Ackley with a two-out, two-run single. And it's now the Mariners 4 and the Blue Jays 1 as Ackley comes through in the clutch with two down.
Putting runs on the board, and they weren't done there as they kept piling on a little insurance. As Kendrys Morales, he had a big game offensively as he'd swat a solo jack.
Pitch from half swing, and this is blocked high to left field. It is high, it is deep, and there it goes. Kendrys Morales put a stamp on it. His first home run as a Mariner this season. He'll take a slow trot around the bags here at Safeco Field as he makes it now 5-1 Mariners, and that is nice to see.
But then the Blue Jays get a couple runs in the eighth inning thanks to Jose Bautista, a screaming double and then a sac fly. But Joe Bimel, who's been so solid out of the pen, gets the last out of the inning.
The stretch and the 1-0 pitch. Navarro with a swing and a pop-up. Shallow left field. Taylor out. Ackley in. It is going to be Chris Taylor who makes the catch, and that will end the inning. Blue Jays get a couple. Two runs on three base hits. No errors, and they leave a man. Great job by Bimel in relief.
And Fernando Rodney, the all-star closer, comes on. He fans Rasmus on a great change.
The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and another Bugs Bunny changeup. Strike three. Three consecutive changeups. And Fernando Rodney strikes out Colby Rasmus for the first out here in the top half of the ninth inning. What a pitch.
He would walk one, but he get the fly out to end it, and that is the ball game. The Mariners take game two of the series, and they take the series.
And again, there's a remarkable number that comes out of this game that just boggles my mind that Aaron Goldsmith put together. Chris Young, he goes six innings, gives up just two hits, and he happened to look it up during the game, after a comment that Mike Blowers made just about the look of John Gibbons, the skipper for the Blue Jays, how, they could just muster two hits against Chris Young. And he looks it up. It was the 25th time in Chris Young's career that he had gone six-plus innings and two hits or less. Now, with no context, it's like, well, what does that mean? How many is 25? So he went to Felix Hernandez for the comparison, thinking, naturally Felix would have more than that. And he looked at the comparison, and, 14 times Felix Hernandez had gone six-plus innings and two hits or less. And it's like, wow, Chris Young, 25 times. So, I took it to the next level, wondering, where is that in terms of active pitchers? And the amazing part is, it is first among active pitchers, six-plus innings, two hits or less. And then I started, dialing back the years a little bit, and I took it back to 1980, and he's seventh from 1980 on. And the names that he's ahead of are, it's incredible. It's a who's who. You have Glavin and Maddox and, everyone else. It's remarkable. 25 times in his career, he's gone six-plus and two hits or less. It's amazing. And he did it once again last night. And we've talked about it so often, how valuable he has been to this club. He's been nearly invincible at Safeco Field. His batting average against, 184 at Safeco Field. His Safeco ERA, 235. Unbelievable season for Chris Young. And in my opinion, he is in the driver's seat for comeback player of the year. And I don't know who's close in the American League, considering where he's come from, how far he's had to go, and what he's doing for this team. He has been remarkable. He has locked down the third spot in the rotation. He has just been unbelievable. And after the game, talked about the game that he had.
You never want to start the game off by walking the leadoff guy. It's a tough lineup. Those guys they can swing it. They've got some of the best hitters in the game. And dug us a little hole early, but had complete confidence the guys would pick me up, just trying to limit the damage and get back in the dugout. And the guys took over from there.
Is there any specific adjustment you made?
No, just sometimes the first inning, you're trying to get the feel, trying to get, this little bit of adrenaline, trying to just get everything under control, rhythm, timing, everything. And if you can, survive the first sometimes, you can roll from there. And tonight was able to, I feel like, settle down and make better pitches after the first couple of hitters.
Getting up there in innings, kind of where you haven't been since 2007. Start to start, what are you doing to maintain that? Do you feel like it's a normal baseball season?
Yeah, I do. I feel completely normal. It's really a non-issue for me. I've been here in the past in my career. I'm not concerned nor worried. I take good care of myself. I get my sleep and eat well and get my work in between starts. So I'm not worried about anything like that. I just keep taking the ball and I'm so grateful that I feel healthy and hopefully continue to get better and better.
Mean anything to be a part of McClendon's 400?
Absolutely. Lloyd's done an unbelievable job. He's one of the best managers and people I've been around in this game, and certainly to contribute on a big night for him is special. Extremely happy for him, and hopefully there's a lot more for him to come.
What sets him apart from other managers?
It's hard because I'm a veteran at this point and being around other guys at different points in my career, but Lloyd has complete, I feel like I have complete trust in everything he says. The communication's great. He leans on me for advice on how I'm doing, and likewise, I'm completely honest with him. It's just, he's just got a demeanor to him that you respect. There's a nice balance of, I guess, he can pat you on the back when you need it and slap you on the butt when you need it too. And so I think it's just been a great balance with the group of guys in here and the way he's handled each and every one of us. And he's a tremendous man.
Yeah, he handed over to the bullpen that has been so sensational. And Joe Bimel is such a great story out of the pen. He got a big out in the game last night. He's only given up one run since April 26th. He's only been scored on three occasions this season. It's unbelievable. Joe Bimel hadn't pitched in the majors since 2011. He was at Triple-A Gwinnett in the Braves system last year. And here he is just dominating. And, you know, it's great to hear his comments after the game, too. Lloyd McClendon is 400th victory, and Joe Bimel right there for the beginning of it.
He's been using our bullpen outstanding. You know, the way I've been used is it's been very enjoyable. You know, he's putting me in the best situations to succeed, and I think he's doing that with everybody.
You were there early with Lloyd in his career, 400 tonight. What did that mean to you to see that celebrate?
It's awesome. It's definitely awesome. He had some rough years, you know, in Pittsburgh where he wasn't given a whole lot of talent to work with. So to see him come here and have a lot of success this year, I think it's been pretty awesome to watch.
And, of course, it was a big day offensively for the Yams. A few things to watch that I think are keys. Logan Morrison, he extended his hitting streak, 13th game in a row, which is very impressive. I thought six runs on the board with Robinson Cano going 0-for-4. I think that's significant moving forward. I mean, you know Cano's, he has just been massively producing, and he has just been rolling along. But Mariners, six runs without him contributing offensively, going 0-for-4, that's a big step. Kyle Seager, of course, another home run at Safeco Field. He continues to dial it in at home and in wins. He's put up giant numbers, but something to watch. Kendrys Morales, a home run and a double. Boy, it'd be huge if he could get cooking. And Dustin Ackley, I talk about it all the time. He's at his best when he's hitting with authority to all fields, and he ripped one the other way, which was great to see.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a whole new ball game when everything means something, and you get in here and you're pumped and you're able to look and see what everybody else is doing and kind of see where you stand, and it's a lot more fun, let's put it that way. I mean baseball is always fun, but it makes it that much more enjoyable when you're actually in it.
How was that beer shower for Lloyd?
It was pretty cool. Yeah, for him to get 400 wins, that's a big milestone, I think, for anybody. And yeah, to give him a beer shower is always fun, no matter who it is.
Seems like as a lineup, you guys are getting much more comfortable with the new additions too, coming in, fitting Kendrys and Austin. How has that changed you guys?
It's been huge. I mean, I think Austin's been great at the top of the lineup. Just having his presence there is huge. And then Chris against the lefties and Kendrys as well. I mean, Kendrys is starting to swing the bat the way we know he can swing it. And if he's going to do that, we're going to be pretty tough.
And, of course, with all of them, you can hear how much they love playing for Lloyd McClendon. Great stuff there as the Mariners get the victory. Now it's time to get greedy. Time to look for the sweep. Time to break out the brooms for the M's against the Jays tonight. But it will not be easy. Although, speaking of not easy, and we talked about on the pregame show yesterday from the other perspective, on what other teams have to deal with coming into Safeco Field in this three-game series. I mean, first of all, that Felix Hernandez right now pitching better than anyone on the planet. He is that special. Then you have Chris Young, who's been lights out at home. He's been so good. Opponents batting 185 at Safeco Field against him coming in. I mean, he's been great. And then game three of the series, you have to deal with Hisashi Iwakuma. 10-6, 2.86 ERA. You know, but he has been, after the little stumble three starts a ways back, he has been absolutely lights out, really since July 1st, which is a long stretch. I mean, his July numbers were ridiculous. 2.32 ERA. He walked one hitter in July and fanned 39. Opponents batted 2.15 against him. And he's really just picked it up from there. His August ERA, 1.23 in two starts. I mean, he's been automatic. You look at his game log, he's pitching 7-plus every time out. Seven innings last time against the White Sox, one run on a home run. 7 and 2/3 the time before that against Baltimore, one run. 7 innings before that, 7 before that, 7 before that, 8 and 2/3 against Oakland, and then 7 before that against Minnesota. It's been clockwork for Iwakuma. He's been rolling along. So it's up to Hisashi to try and get the M's the sweep, get him the victory before they head off to Detroit after an off day. Here's where it gets difficult, though. R.A. Dickey, former Cy Young Award winner, will take to the hill for the Toronto Blue Jays. Dickey on the season, 9-11, a 3.99 ERA. It's been kind of an up-and-down season for Dickey. He's had some really great starts mixed in with some struggles. Last time out against Detroit, went 6 innings, gave up just 2 earned runs. But, you know, with Dickey at this point, it just depends on how that knuckler is dancing. I mean, he could go out and pitch 4 innings and give up 7 earned, or he could go out and pitch 8 shutout innings. I mean, it's just, it's really hard to gauge at this point what the Blue Jays are going to get from R.A. Dickey right now and that knuckleball. So we'll see. We'll see. It should be a good matchup with Iwakuma against R.A. Dickey. Now, speaking of Dickey, Aaron Goldsmith had a conversation with R.A. Dickey about Felix Hernandez, a former Cy Young Award winner himself. And, wow, his description of what his changeup does is awesome. So there's a couple pieces of audio from the Blue Jays coming, and just so you know, it's become an epic quest for Aaron Goldsmith and I. And Aaron Goldsmith does a lot of the heavy lifting in the opposing clubhouse, so I give him all the credit in the world because he has come up with some real gold. But both of us have been seeking out as much audio about Felix Hernandez from opponents, especially as of late. And I think we've been able to come up with some really good stuff, whether it's Hall of Famers or opposing players. And this is some good stuff coming right here. First, we'll start with R.A. Dickey.
You had a chance in Game 1 to watch someone else who has won a Cy Young Award, King Felix, a former teammate of yours here with the Mariners. What's it been like for you tracking Felix as his season has gone on, but particularly in Game 1, being able to watch him from this Toronto Blue Jays dugout?
Well, you know, I got to play with him, so I'm one of the few who can count myself very lucky to get to play with a player who I will look back when I'm an old man and tell other people that I had a chance to play with him, much like other people do with probably, you know, guys like Nolan Ryan and those guys. I mean, this guy is that kind of player, and he's so passionate about what he does, and he works hard, so. You know, it's no surprise to me what he's doing, and I always, regardless of where I am, marvel at his ability.
How would you describe his changeup to someone?
It's hard. You know, I don't know if I'm the guy to ask because I've never faced it, but I've certainly watched it. You know, he throws his changeup as hard as most guys throw their fastball, which is really saying something because he gets so many swings and misses on it. And the reason he does that is because the movement is so late. The last 12 to 14 inches before it gets to the plate, it's literally like someone steps on the ball, you know, and it goes straight down. And guys swing and miss it or hit. He gets incredible amount of ground balls on the pitch. And it looks just like his fastball because he's able to maintain that great arm speed.
And now a guy who faced Felix in the box, Steve Tolleson. He's got a great quote about the King as well.
Steve, last night you had a chance to see Felix Hernandez for the first time in a regular season game. What was it like facing Felix, especially with a crowd like we saw in Game 1 against the Blue Jays?
I mean, Felix definitely had his A game last night. You know, he made it very difficult for any of us to kind of get in rhythm with him. You know, we found out firsthand, you know, why they call him the King and why, you know, he is as good as he is. You know, his changeup was pretty tough to pick up.
And is it tough to pick up because out of his hand it comes in looking just like a fastball?
Exactly. It looks all of his pitches kind of look the same coming out of his hand, and you know, his changeup being as hard as it is, you have to respect it as a fastball, and it has some pretty good sink to it.
In past years, Felix has always had 4 pitches, but it seems like this year he also has the slider and the curveball, which he's consistently throwing for strikes each and every night. Was that the sense that you all had as a team, that it wasn't just a changeup, it wasn't just a fastball, but he had all 4 pitches that he could throw as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, most good starting pitchers, you know, have more than 2. And when you can locate all 4, it makes it really difficult for the opposing team. And you know, we had a game plan going in on him, and you know, he executed his pitchers better than we executed our game plan. So it was It was a tough night, but we're looking to come out and do something different tonight.
So there it is. Wow, some good stuff there about Felix Hernandez. Mariners and Blue Jays, Game 3 of the series. M's looking to break out the brooms. And now we're going to hand things over to Shannon Dreher. Great conversation here with James Paxton.
I definitely felt more comfortable last night. It was just, one of those things where I just needed a little bit more time to kind of get my feet under me, like you said, and just kind of get my stuff back to where it was.
Biggest thing I think we saw was command, and that was right from the get-go. What was different for you yesterday, and what had you been working on? You said there was a tweak you thought you could make.
Yeah, definitely. I was stepping a little straighter. My leg kick was feeling really good, and mechanics were smooth, and I was just kind of letting the ball go, and it was going where I wanted it to, and it felt really good.
Where would you say, if you're comparing yourself at the beginning of the year, do you feel like you're in that first month? Did you lose a lot? Where do you feel you are physically right now?
Physically, I feel really good. Everything feels good, and it's one of those things where everything's getting a little sharper each time out now. My stuff last night was sharper than my last time out with the Orioles, against the Orioles, and I just think every time it's just going to get a little bit sharper, and just continue to get better.
It's funny, we watch you, and it seems like you've been up for longer than you've actually been up, and there's so many new things that you're going through. When you're getting ready to face a team, what are you going off of? How do you prepare for, basically you haven't seen most people.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen most people. I watch video. I'll get in there and watch the video, and these guys do a great job of giving us charts and information, and we have a team meeting about the hitters before each series, so I listen to that. I also snag the notes and take a read of the notes and everything and match up what I see in video with the notes that I read, and then I go out and make a plan with whoever's catching me that day, and you just attack these guys.
What is involved in the notes? What do you see when you pick up a note sheet?
For me, I just watch and see if a guy's looking to pull or if he's trying to hit it to the opposite field and what off-speed pitches he struggles with, whether he's going to chase up or down, especially with two strikes. And, it's just little things that you notice, like what pitches they struggle with and what locations, and just kind of put it in the memory bank for if you get yourself in that situation.
You had the crew down yesterday, it sounds like. Yep. Family able to come down for a lot of games?
Family makes it down for most games, yeah, wow. Especially on the weekends when parents don't have to work and stuff the next day. But they came down for the night last night, and we're back there watching, so it was a lot of fun to see them afterwards.
Okay, you're Canadian. There are going to be a lot of Canadians at the ballpark tomorrow.
I realize.
Tell us the truth. When you're growing up, are you a Mariners guy? Are you a Blue Jay guy?
I was a Mariners guy. We used to come down here a couple times a year and watch some games, and I was always a huge Randy Johnson fan, so that pulled me towards the Mariners. But I am trying to turn the Vancouver crowd of Toronto Blue Jay fans into Mariner fans. We'll see how that goes.
Well, you figure you got Saunders, you got you. There's pretty decent representation here.
It is, yeah. I think that over some time, give us some time, I think we'll make it happen.
Randy Johnson, that's the first time I've heard you talk about him. What was it that you saw and that you liked in him?
For me, it was left-handed guy just throwing fuel and had a nasty slider, just striking everybody out, and I just loved watching it.
Think you can maybe grow the hair out, the mullet someday?
I don't think my girlfriend would like that.
That was part of the intimidation factor.
It was, yeah. I know that it would whip around pretty good, but yeah, it was awesome.
There's James Paxton with Shannon Dreher. And now we're going to welcome for the first time on the podcast. I can't believe it took so long, but it won't be the last time for sure. Alex Rivera. He's the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners. You can hear him on the Spanish feed on Root Sports, also a four-station Spanish network as well. But before we get to the conversation, we got to hear a call, right? So how about from the other night? How about a Felix Hernandez strikeout before we get to him?
Se prepara Felix, lanzamiento. Tira y falla Ponchete. Dos out. Ahora siete ponchetes por Felix Hernandez.
So here's our conversation, and it leads perfectly. And the first part of the conversation is about the king, Felix Hernandez, and what he has been doing.
It is incredible the way he's just turned it on. It's like a whole different gear, a different level that Felix is on this year. I mean, he won the Cy Young in 2010, and his numbers this year are dwarfing those. Just amazing. And it's fun to watch, and it's one of the primary reasons why we're still playing games of importance so late in the season.
Would you say he's pitching better than he is right now than he did in 2010 when he won the Cy Young Award at the end of the season?
I'd say he's pitching better than anyone has pitched since 2010. But absolutely, there's no question. His confidence is there. He's locating the fastball. The changeup, we all know, is killer. But the fact that he can put that fastball where he wants to, and it's got a little bit more zip this year. Looks like he's done some training offseason with Pablo Sandoval and a trainer in Venezuela, got his legs a little bit better under him, and he's getting that ball up there a lot faster, and it's really been a huge contributing factor to his success.
Now, you've watched him progress from when he first got here. Where's his ceiling? Where can he go?
You know, he's just getting smarter. He's just getting more mature. I don't see where he's going to top out, honestly. This is a guy that went from being a thrower to a pitcher, and now he can be a finesse guy. He can pitch for contact. He can pitch for strikeouts. I mean, he basically decides, depending on where the appearance is going for him, he'll tailor his game to that, and that's what makes him so hard, so very difficult to score on.
I think coming into this season, we all knew Robinson Cano was a superstar, but what has it been like watching him day in and day out?
What you're watching is a guy that when he was with New York, basically, he was a winner. And he came here and he kind of looked around and was like, the mentality is like, hey guys, I win. So if you guys want to get on the train with me, let's go. If not, then just fall off the side. And he's brought that mentality. He's a total team guy. He brings that leadership in the clubhouse that we need. And it's a guy they look at. It's like, he's been there. We want to be where he's been. So we're just going to follow along. And the rest of the guys have taken to him. His ego has been put aside. He just wants to win. He wants to be part of this team. And I just think that was, I mean, besides the batting average, besides, you know, being number two in runs batted in, I think what he's brought to the team is that mentality of, look, we can win, and I'm going to show you how we can do this.
He's been on such a hot streak offensively. We talk about his numbers all the time, but man, defensively, he is so good and so fluid out there. He makes it all look so easy.
He does. I mean, he absolutely, the way he fields a ball, it's everything is fundamentally right. It's sound. But he can tell where the ball is going to be, so he's already there. By the time I look up in the booth, he's already standing there waiting for it. So he just makes it look very easy. And I think it's just a credit to the hard work that he puts in, because a lot of times you don't see, if you're not like ourselves, you're not here hours before the game, you don't go to spring training. The guy puts in a lot of work, and what you're seeing out there is a result of him working extremely hard behind closed doors.
You know, we talked about Felix pitching, the numbers, but boy, overall, you look at this pitching staff, they've been unbelievable in August and really all season long. What's been the key for this pitching staff and what they've done?
I think the confidence in the bullpen has been huge. I feel that the starters know that if it has to be turned over to the bullpen, that those guys over there can get the job done. They believe in each other. They've got that brotherhood. And you know, you have to give huge credit for all aspects of the team to McClendon, and this is mentality coming in. He's going to put guys in roles where they can excel. He's not going to expect the guy to do something that's outside of his game. And that's what has helped them be so successful.
They're right in the thick of it with the Blue Jays, of course, so they're playing in this series, Detroit, the Yankees. I mean, it's been a wild race throughout. How do you look at this? How do you look at this breaking down in the last month and a half?
It's going to be great. I mean, we're, what, four games from the first spot in the wild card, and that means that we're not that far off from the division if you really look at it. So I think it's going to be very exciting. The Mariners just need to stay within their game, and at the end of the day, the chips are going to fall where they fall. If we just keep pitching the way we're pitching and our offense can step up like the last couple of nights, they do it occasionally, very successfully. But if we got guys going out there that are giving up three runs or less, we've got a really good shot. And be careful if we get into the playoffs. That's all I have to say. I tell the whole league, be careful if this team gets into the playoffs.
You bring a good point, too, about the offense. You know, in just a matter of a few days, they turned over a third of their lineup. Saunders coming back as well. This team's a little bit different offensively at the same time.
Yes, and I think the additions that they brought in as well, some good veterans out there, you know, bringing up Andy on May 30th was something that really helped the team turn. He was able to work with James Jones. James Jones kind of hit his sophomore slump a little early. earlier than normal, but still carrying a 250 plus batting average. I mean, still a solid player, but when you bring Jackson into the fold, you've got a guy that's been there, can play the position, and also is a very good, I mean, batted over 300 from the leadoff position this season with Detroit. So these are the kind of moves that the Mariners made that, although we didn't bring any huge bombers onto the team, we didn't lose a bunch of guys and pay a lot of money, we definitely strengthened our teams in the areas that we needed.
So there it is, Alex Rivera. We'll definitely have him on again. That was fun stuff. You can follow him on Twitter as well. It's at A Alex R Rivera, Spanish play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners. And I thought it'd be a fun way to end. You know, it was such a big night the other night at Safeco Field. Let's hear a couple of more of his highlights to end things in this one. Let's hear the home run. Robinson Cano going deep. Here's the call.
Batazo elevado al izquierdo, profundo, hacia atrás, se llevó la cerca. Robinson Cano, pa' la calle. La bola siguió y siguió, no parecía que iba a tener la distancia, pero se fue al jardín opuesto por cuadrangular y Robinson ahora con 10. Lleva cercas en la temporada, Marineros, encima 3, carreras por una.
Dustin Ackley, how about his big hit?
Ahora se prepara Mills, lanzamiento viene. Batazo alto al central, tiene distancia, pica contra la verja, otro doblete impulsador, y los Marineros siguen dando y dale, y dale, y dale. Carrera impulsada, entra anotando Dustin Ackley, y son 7 carreras anotadas para los Mariners aquí en la sexta.
Okay, here's the Mike Zunino triple.
Mike Zunino al bate. Hutchison lanza. Batazo alto al derecho. Hacia atrás. Y pica contra la verja. Y el jardinero derecho, Bautista, la filió mal. Seager viene. Viene el tiro. Viene Seager y anota. Triplete para Mike Zunino. Otra carrera para los Marineros. Y ahora los Marineros encima 4 carreras por una.
These are so great. This is awesome. And last one, this is going to be Brad Miller triple, and this is going to play us off.
Llena de emoción. Batazo elevado al derecho con distancia. Pica de hit contra la verja y Miller empuja la carrera y tratando de extender el doble a triple. ¡Quieto! ¡Triplete! Brad Miller remolca otra carrera más y los Marineros encima 6 por 1.